Well, this morning I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we want to look at verses 21 to 34. We need to learn together here this morning of more about Jesus' healing ministry. And so let's bow together for prayer before we begin. Our Father and our God, we have come here this day that we might learn and grow in respect to our faith. We offer to you our praise and thanksgiving for all that you have shown us in truth. But Lord, we know that sometimes certain truths need to be impressed upon our souls so that we actually make progress in terms of our holiness, in terms of our faith, in terms of our being able to look outside of ourselves to see how we might help others. And Lord, together as a church, we want to do this as well. And so we pray as we study your word here together, as we hear it preached, and as it comes to our hearts, we pray that it would be with power, and that we would sense and know and understand that you, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power and authority in heaven and earth, is ministering to our souls. And we pray then on that basis to be able to minister to the hearts and lives of others around us. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick, and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak, because they knew him. Now the power of the Lord Jesus to heal is the same today as it was yesterday. This is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that this is what we need to glean from this passage today. Since this is the case, I want to ask this question. What is our responsibility as Christians in this church? What are we to do in relation to the healing ministry of Jesus? And I think we can find four things that we should see and four things that we should do in relation to Jesus' healing ministry today from these verses. First of all, we need to see that in saving a person, Jesus transfers them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light by his power. Secondly, we need to tell the Lord Jesus about the sick. Third, we should look to him for immediate and real results. And fourth, we should expect then that many others would come looking for help. Well, first of all, we need to see that in saving us, Jesus transfers us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light by His mighty power. Verses 29 and 30, the setting here is a Sabbath day in Capernaum, early in the public ministry of our Lord. The Son of God, when He first began His ministry, preached to people the gospel of the kingdom of God. He'd been doing this for some time. He was going about saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," and repent and believe the gospel. Now on this day, He enters the synagogue, and having gained the permission of the leaders of the synagogue to teach, He taught the people there, it says, with authority. He taught them with the authority of one who was sent from God, one who not merely was sharing His own opinions of truth or the opinions of the religious men of that day or of the past. His purpose in preaching was to fish for men. The people, it says here, were astonished at His teaching. It was at this point that a demon-possessed man was, he just happened to be sitting there among those in the synagogue. And the demon within this man realized that he was about to lose control or possession of this man who he'd kept in his possession for some time. And so he caused this man to cry out and say, "Let us alone. What do we have to do with You, Jesus of Nazareth? Why did You come to destroy us? I know who You are, the Holy One of God." And it says here that Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And we need to think together about this incident for a few moments. The meaning of life is greater simply than our own life. It's about our being in one of two kingdoms. You are either living your life in the kingdom of God and Christ, or you are living your life in the kingdom of darkness and the devil. Now, spiritually speaking, all men are born as citizens of the kingdom of darkness, whether they know it or not, and all of us have sin-sick souls by nature and by birth. And we are all subject to sickness and death. We all live in a fallen world. But the forms which sin sickness takes in some people can be worse than it is in others because of Satan's malice, his evil thoughts, and the activity of his demon legion. Some in our day are afflicted with troubled and tormented souls. Others are deceived into believing in false and pagan religions, and some who know not Christ may even be so desperate in their rebellion to God and His authority that they become heavily influenced by or even possessed by demons. Our text shows us that there were many people on this Sabbath day that needed to be healed. And our Bibles also teach us that if we're ever to be saved from our sins and delivered from our afflictions and have eternal life, that we must be born again. So a part of Christ's work by the Holy Spirit in connection with the new birth is that we must, by God's power and His grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that's what Jesus did for this man. Jesus touched this man as the King who commanded this demon to come out of him. The demons, plural, it says, trembled and left the spiritual ground in his heart and mind that they thought that they could hold on to. Jesus healed him of this torment, of this affliction. This was the morning of this Sabbath day. It was going to be quite a day. In the afternoon of this same Sabbath, we find Jesus coming to see and to touch a sick lady. To this lady, He would become a physician to her. He would become a physician to her body. And by the evening of this day, then we find that the news about the power of Jesus to heel had spread so quickly that it says that the whole city gathered at the door. And we can see from this that one Sabbath day in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he came to do for the needy, he was very busy on that day with afflicted people and sick people. And it was not only meant to help them in that day, but it was meant to be a good example of ourselves to ourselves of what Jesus can do for us here today who need his power to heal. True and lasting healing by Jesus is meant, by the way, to touch your soul as well as your body. And each one of us must come to experience the touch of God upon our soul, upon our life, taking away our sin sickness, having him cast out the demonic influences from our soul so that we are those who are spiritually strong and well. The free gift of God bringing salvation and deliverance comes in just such a fashion. So Christ was very busy on this day, but he was not so busy that he could not heal the many who came to him for help. And he's busy, I'm saying, today as well, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, the place whence he heals troubled, diseased, and sin-sick people today. And he has all power and authority in heaven and earth. He's not too busy, dear ones, to attend to you. And so what we must do as a church then is to pray for and to promote Jesus' healing ministry by telling others of their need to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son, that is the kingdom of light. Now, secondly, we need to tell our Lord Jesus about the sick people around us. Verses 29 and 30, now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Now you notice that right after church, right after they got out of synagogue on this Sabbath day, that some of the disciples entered Simon's house, which must have been close by. Perhaps they went there for a meal or rest or refreshment. Perhaps they wanted simply to have fellowship with each other. But when they came into the house, they found that Simon's wife's mother was lying sick with a fever in one of the rooms. The kind of a fever that she had was not a slight one. Luke's gospel calls it a high fever. It was a dangerous and a life-threatening fever. But it is the disciples' response to what they saw that I want you to take notice of. It says that they told him about her at once. They just didn't hesitate. They told Jesus immediately, at once, about her. In Luke's gospel, it says they made request of him concerning her. They didn't say to themselves, well, it looks pretty bad for Simon's mother-in-law, doesn't it? There's nothing that we can do for her now. She's on death's doorstep. No, they immediately brought their concerns to the Lord Jesus. They told him at once about it. They made requests that he would come to see. They believed that he could help her. They told him at once about it. It's not as if the Christian does not believe in the use of means. We really do, don't we? It's not as though that we don't believe in Christian physicians or even doctors who may not know the Lord if they could help us with our physical ailments. But it is that the Christian knows that healing only comes from God. And if this is so, then should not all Christians or any Christian, when he hears of someone who is sick and afflicted with a disease or illness, first seek to the living, risen Christ who has all power and authority and make request of him? Are earthly helpers to be sought before the heavenly helper? No, for the Christian, the answer is plain. The scriptures are plain. It is to the great physician that we seek, and we ought to seek him immediately. We have heard of his power, we know of his love and compassion, and we would make request of him before any other medical person or treatment is attempted. There's a good example of a failure to do what the disciples did in our text. The disciples went to Jesus immediately, but in 2 Chronicles 16:12, it speaks about good King Asa. Now remember, he's a good king here. But it says in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. And yet in his disease, it says, he did not seek the Lord, but he sought the physicians. And so the very next verse it says, so Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Now I hope you can see here from this text that only God can keep us in this life. Only God can keep you in this life. Only God can heal you. It is not that good doctors or medicine or treatments are to be shunned. That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what this text is saying. But God is a God who uses means, and yet we must always believe that He can and He sometimes does choose to heal people immediately because of His great compassion and His love and His mercy. But let us also understand that when He does not choose to heal immediately, He is still to be sought and trusted to help through the efforts of trained medical personnel. Our God and our Christ are still to be entreated first, but the doctors are to be prayed for in their efforts so that by the blessing of our God upon them, that sick people might be helped. And with God's blessing, then that they might grow stronger and that they might grow well. Those efforts of doctors and other medical personnel are to be seen as part of the means that God will use to bless the sick person with good health through the treatments and the medicines that they administer. Although we are not among those who believe that the gift of healing by men, laying their hands on people, continues in our day, we do believe that the healing ministry of Jesus continues today. It most certainly is true that God gave gifts of healing, gifts of healings, the ability to heal to the apostles in the time of the early church. But when the apostles left the scene and left behind the scriptures, we believe that the ministry of the revelatory gifts of prophecy and tongues and the gift of healing, that is by men's hands, ceased. But the need of men to be healed did not cease. And by this we should understand that in God's mind and according to His good purposes, the greater need which people have is the healing of their souls. That's what we need to understand by all this. Jesus and the apostles and the others of that time in the early church did have gifts of miracles that were given to them to verify to those whom they preached to that their teaching of the gospel was the true gospel, which would save men from their sins and heal their souls and give them the gift of eternal life. The healing of the body is a great help, but it is not necessary to living a godly life. As we think about this passage, how it should convince every Christian, every one of us, of the power of Christ's grace to save and to keep the soul. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? Do you believe that He still does heal people according to His sovereign will? Will you not also believe that the purpose that He has in mind is His healing a person's body when He does so, when He does heal someone? It is that everyone who's looking on would be able to believe in Him for spiritual life and health and peace. That's his intention in this. And so I'm saying we should learn to make requests to the Lord immediately for both our physical and spiritual problems and the problems, physical and spiritual, of other people around us. We should learn to fervently pray in relation to ourselves and other people's illnesses. Prayer for the healing of the body is still commended and commanded in the Word of God. In James 5:13 and following, it shows us the true pattern. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now you can see here that there is a possible connection between sins and physical illness. Illnesses that we might think about, but it's not always the case. But if it is the case that there were sins involved which brought about the illness, it says here they will be forgiven. Do you see that? And I'm saying this should be a great incentive for each one of us to tell Christ about the illnesses of our friends and loved ones at once. And it indeed is the right thing and the loving thing that Christians should pray and immediately bring the matter of the bodily illnesses of their loved ones to Christ. The prayer of faith will save the sick. It isn't the degree of faith, it is where the faith is placed. The faith is placed in the sovereign God. The prayer of those believers, or those elders, or those who are looking on at the person who is sick, not necessarily the person themselves, although they should pray for themselves. But we need to understand these principles. The oil that may be used, I believe, is the emblem of the request of the elders for the power of Christ's Holy Spirit to come and minister healing to the one who is sick. Now, thirdly, all Christians in the body of Christ have the responsibility in relation to the healing ministry of Jesus to look to Him for immediate and real results. Verse 31, so He came and took her by the hand, that is Simon's mother, and immediately the fever left her and she served them. Matthew's gospel says, so He touched her hand and the fever left her and she arose and served them. Luke's gospel says, so He stood over her and rebuked the fever and it left her and immediately she arose and served them. So when you and I pray to the Lord Jesus, when we make requests of Him to heal our loved ones, we must also have the faith to expect results. Real results. The disciples here had that faith, and because they were looking to Jesus to do what they knew no other man could do, because their prayers were prayers of simple trust, He answered them. It was not a matter, like I said a moment ago, of the degree. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed. So it is not the degree of faith. It is where that faith and trust are placed. That is in the all-sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. It is not always the will of the Lord that people be healed physically. It's a matter which the prayerful Christian lays before the Lord and watches to see what the Lord will do, how the Lord will act. Prayer is not a demand. It's not a statement to Him of our rights. It is a humble request that He would see and that He would intervene and that He would act in accordance with God's perfect will. You'll remember that the great apostle was so given the miraculous gift of healings recorded in Acts 19, verse 11, that it says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. But this same man, the Apostle Paul, says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. So it's not always the Lord's will that the body be healed, but it is always His will to heal the sin-sick soul of those persons who are trusting in the Lord Jesus for their salvation. You'll find this joyfully true if you will trust in Jesus, if you will pray to Him, if you will ask others to pray for it. Listen to Psalm 30, and you'll see the joy of receiving the healing ministry of Jesus Christ to your soul. It says there, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. So it always needs to be remembered that God is a prayer-hearing God. When we cry to Him, He lifts us up. And when we pray, He hears us and brings definite results. So He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. That was the definite result to this dear woman. It will be the definite result given to all who call upon the name of Jesus for spiritual deliverance from all of their sins. For even if God does not choose to heal you bodily in this life, and you die, you will still go to heaven. And there you will await the coming day of the resurrection, when your body will be raised and you'll be lifted up and given a transformed resurrection body. The same body that you have now, except with no sin, no disease, only glory and beauty and power and strength. And there are always definite and immediate results when the Lord Jesus heals someone, and when He wants to make His power known, and when He waits to heal, it is so His holy name would be magnified when the full and total healing is done. The other definite and immediate result that we as the disciples of the Lord should look for when the Lord Jesus heals someone, either physically or spiritually, is the immediate desire to serve and to be of service to others around them. Not only did the fever leave this woman immediately, but it says immediately she arose and served them. Now this is more marvelous yet, is it not? The power of the Lord Jesus is accompanied by virtue. And there is a very thankful, joyful, praising heart toward God in this woman. And there's real thankfulness for the prayers of the people who prayed for that one and who cared for that one during that time. Physical healing, when accompanied by grace, causes the person healed to think more of the people around them out of thankfulness for the miracle done for them than they do of themselves. That's what was happening with this dear lady whom Jesus raised up. She didn't even hesitate. She just started serving. It's one of the great indications of a true miracle having taken place and not some phony healing show. Many ministries of healing by men in our days might cause those who are supposedly healed to praise God for some personal gain, but it is unlikely that it will result in an immediate desire to serve others. Whereas service is one of the very first things that the one who is truly healed physically or spiritually thinks about when they are healed or when they are saved Think of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. After the Lord brings about his conversion by means of light shining upon him and a voice speaking to him, he says, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" So he went from being a persecutor one moment to being a servant of God in Christ just like that. It didn't take any time for him when the Lord stretched forth his power. It's always a good indication of true conversion, the real healing begun in the soul when that person goes about to serve God and the church, which they become a member of. It's a great indication of how immediately God can change a person's heart, and that their continued spiritual health is indicated in their looking for ways that they might serve God and the church as they grow up into Christ. Let me make this statement. It is only a selfish soul, a diseased and afflicted soul that only would think of itself. But a soul that has been healed is ready to be unselfish, generous, and giving. And let us consider this, and let us pray for it in ourselves, and for Christ's power to come in healing strength to many. And then fourthly, and very briefly, the thing that we should do in relation to Jesus' ministry of healing is to expect that many others would come looking for help when they see the power of the Lord in our midst doing mighty works. At evening when the sun had set, it says in verse 32, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered at the door. Now you can see from this that the word had spread about Jesus' healing ministry. People knew that there was power with Jesus to really heal, really get rid of demons permanently. And word spread like wildfire that Jesus was the great physician of men's bodies. It says, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak, because they knew him. How good and how gracious was the Lord Jesus not to turn anyone away who needed healing. It does not say that each one who was healed also believed in him for salvation. But who could not help but think that there were many who did? Physical healing doesn't always lead to spiritual healing. But when we come to know that it's from God through Jesus Christ, it ought to lead us to expect that many others would come looking for help, because some have been truly and really healed. And the same is true of healing grace, the healing grace of the gospel. When a person comes to Jesus, when they believe in his power to save from sins and to change the heart so that it will head down the path of righteousness, many others come to see, and they come to inquire whether it's real, whether it's true. And they may not all come for the right reasons, but perhaps God will so work that in time they will learn that the Lord's power is not only mighty to heal physically, but mighty to save the soul, mighty to save to the uttermost all who come to him. Is that not what you and I should pray for? Is this not in accordance with the promise which comes to us from Jesus himself? He says in Mark 11, verse 22, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Well, let's pray together. Lord, let the power of you, our Lord Jesus Christ, to heal and to save be understood here in our midst this morning. Let it be understood that you are well able to deal with all diseases and all spiritual and physical maladies. And we pray that your power to save and to keep and to heal and to cleanse and to give us the ability to serve others would be seen in our midst in these days and in the days to come. That you would build our church through people seeing that in and out of our weakness, we were made strong and we were made whole. And we pray to be able to serve you in this godly way that will bring glory to you and will be that which we praise you for over and over in the days to come. Build your church here in the midst of us, your people, by giving us of the Holy Spirit and doing your mighty works of saving and healing. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close by singing hymn number 546, Jesus, Thy Name I Love, All Other Names Above, Jesus My Lord. Let's stand together for this hymn.
Jesus, Thy name I love, all other names above, Jesus, my Lord. Oh, Thou art all to me, nothing to please I see, nothing apart from Thee, Jesus, my Lord. Thou, blessed Son of God, hast bought me with Thy blood, Jesus, my Lord. Oh, how great is Thy love, all other loves above, love that I daily prove, Jesus, my Lord. When unto Thee I flee, Thou will my refuge be, Jesus, my Lord. What need I now to fear? What earthly grief or care? Since Thou art ever near, Jesus, my Lord. Soon Thou wilt come again, I shall be happy then, Jesus, my Lord. Then Thine own face I'll see, then I shall like Thee be, then evermore with Thee, Jesus, my Lord. Amen.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called, and be thankful. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. May the Lord bless you. You are dismissed.